What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Lakers Outsiders podcast. I am Gary Kester. Man, it's been a while since we've done one of these, but doesn't matter. We are back. We are back and talking about a Lakers win tonight. I am joined by Jacob Rude. Jacob, how you been, man?
I've been good. Usually about this time in the year and years past, I would get all depressed that the Lakers had sucked in December and had blown up everything after playing so well in November. But here we are. I think tonight makes them like 19-13. They're right in the middle of the playoff race. I really miss competitive Lakers basketball. This is fun.
I was thinking that earlier in the night. I was like, wow, the Lakers have 19 wins before Christmas. This is amazing. Yeah, 19-13, sitting alone at fourth in the Western Conference right now. I think they're three games out of the top seed. Those back-to-back losses kind of dropped them a little bit, and the West is crazy close. But they're back in the win column. They got back in the win column tonight against the New Orleans Pelicans, and dare I say, future Laker Anthony Davis? Too soon?
Never too soon. NBA, we're not tampering.
Yeah, no, We're allowed. I am not employed by the Lakers. I've got a Lakers flag over my shoulder right there, but that does not mean I'm banned from talking about every superstar joining the Lakers in the future. So, yeah, let's dive on in. The Lakers beat the Pelicans tonight, as we said, to get to 19-13 on the season. 112-104 was the final score. Unlikely hero in this game. One very likely hero. And as the entire Lakers team seemingly deals with the flu, Ivica Zubac comes out of nowhere to save the day. Jacob, what was Zoo your main takeaway from tonight, or did you something else jump out more so for you?
There's no way it's not anybody but Zoo.
Oh, I'll have something to say about that in a minute.
Well, you can be a devil's advocate, but Zoo, I mean, I didn't do a deep dive into his previous games. I don't think he's played a better game than this because, well, one, it came against Anthony Davis and Julius Randle, and two, it came for a competitive team in a competitive game. This wasn't like the 40-game under 500 Lakers playing some meaningless March game. This was a game that they need because they're going to be fighting the Pelicans for the playoffs, and they came off back-to-back losses. So not even just from a statistical standpoint, just all around, best game Zubac's played. I think my tweet when they announced the starting lineups was something like, we're starting who at center? And I mean, I tweeted after the game, I will gladly eat crow on this. I've been really harsh on Zubac, I think, and for the most part, rightfully so. But this, I don't know where this came from tonight, because he struggled this year, and he looked really damn good tonight.
Yeah, it was it was amazing. I think, you know, the most impressive thing that I saw with Zubac tonight was he played really with no fear on both ends of the floor. I mean, there was a play where they threw a lob for Anthony Davis, and Zoo met him at the top and knocked the ball away. And Randle, you know, late in the game went right at him and kind of tried to bully his way through him. And Zoo got knocked off a little bit and then reestablished his footing and swatted the shot away. And, you know, with Zubac on the other end, I mean, he was trying to dunk the ball, finish strong, all that stuff, finished 8 of 10 from the field, 16 points, 11 boards. He was a plus 15 tonight, 2 blocks. He had 5 fouls, which is, I mean, understandable considering, you know, he's matched up against Anthony Davis and Julius Randle and that front court duo and Jahlil Okafor. Jahlil Okafor actually had some really bright moments tonight, but
the nicest thing you've ever said about Jahlil Okafor.
Yeah, no, that's about it. I'm not talking about him anymore. But no, I mean, Zubac was fantastic tonight, and it was so unlikely. You know, I think if you'd have told me going into the game Zubac is going to play 32 minutes, I'm thinking the game is a blowout. I don't know if it's, you know, I guess probably it's a blowout and the Lakers are getting killed, but yeah. But he was really, really good. Another player that I want to highlight, obviously everybody kind of knows LeBron James is LeBron James. He's amazing, arguably the greatest player ever. Another triple double, whatever, no big deal. Kuzma, I thought, hit some timely threes tonight. He had 23 points on 8 of 15 shooting. He had 3 threes, and I felt like each one came when the Pelicans were getting very, very close to kind of coming back and taking the lead in the second half. So he hit some timely threes. But the guy I want to talk about tonight is Brandon Ingram. It was his first game back, and I thought he played very, very well. Looking at the numbers, nothing really like spectacular. 18 points, 6 of 14 shooting, missed both of his threes, 7 rebounds, only 2 assists. He was a plus 16 tonight, and I feel like it. I mean, I feel like, you know, just watching the game, that it felt like that. It felt like the Lakers were a better team when he was on the floor. I thought defensively he was really good. He forced a couple turnovers, and I don't know. I'll throw it to you for your thoughts, but I just thought he played offensively. Like, the style of play was just so much better than what we saw before he got hurt.
I mean, you mentioned something to the effect of, like, the thing he noticed most when he was on the bench or on the sidelines, basically watching the Lakers, was how much they were moving without the ball, which was always kind of a criticism of his, at least this season. I mean, he'd done it well before, but this season he hadn't done it as much, especially kind of cutting off LeBron and having LeBron find him. So he did that a couple times tonight, which was nice to see. But, I mean, I tweeted it during the game, but I think a lot of times, and this isn't even necessarily just with Ingram, but we talk so much about what a player isn't and not what they are. Like, I know the broadcast mentioned it with Randall, which is another good example, but everybody talks about Ingram isn't a spot-up shooter. He isn't, like we just said, he doesn't cut maybe as much as we want. But, I mean, there were a couple times tonight where he got guys in the post and just made some really nice moves, nice fakes, and knocked down a couple tough shots. And I tweeted then that, like, you know, for all the things Ingram isn't, he's really good in the post. It's stuff like that. I mean, I know it frustrates a lot of people, myself included at times, that he takes these mid-range shots. But, I mean, for a third-year guy, he's really good at them. He knocks down a lot of them, and it's just stuff like that that I agree. He played really well tonight, and I was really encouraged. I wasn't sure if I'd necessarily liked putting him back in the starting lineup, but if he plays like he did tonight, I was really encouraged by that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you mentioned, I was going to bring it up if you didn't, but you had tweeted that earlier about his ability, you know, out of the post. And I think that's one of those things that late in the shot clock you can turn to. And that's such a luxury to have in your offense, is, you know, being able to, you know, 6 or 7 on the clock, just dumb it down to a guy like Ingram in the post. And because I shared a screen grab of the shot he hit at the end of the shot clock. And I think it was early third quarter. I think it was early to mid third quarter. And Drew Holiday contested it like as well as you could have without actually blocking the shot. And Ingram still somehow found a way to make the shot. And like I said, it's just a luxury to have a player like that that can, you know, get his own shot, especially late in the clock, and get you at least a decent look. You know, obviously the Lakers have that, you know, with a couple of guys, with LeBron, obviously, and Kyle Kuzma, I think a little bit. And Ingram is certainly that guy as well. So, you know, it's just funny to me how quickly people really want to give up on Brandon Ingram. It's like, this kid, you know, turns 22 next September. you know, I know we always say, like, he's super young. And, you know, at a certain point, we'll have to stop kind of coming back to that. But he's 21 years old, you know. He's not going to have every single part of his game figured out, you know. And, you know, he's just improving in certain areas over the course of time. And Ingram, the thing that I've kind of noticed with Ingram, and I don't know if the numbers necessarily back it up, but it feels like he's the type of player that starts the season off kind of slow. And I think all three seasons have had different circumstances for him. You know, he comes in as a rookie, onto, you know, a terrible team that's not going to win very many games. And he's, you know, his body's very underdeveloped. You know, he's, you know, I mean, he's a teenager playing in the NBA. Like, usually that's, there's a big learning curve for that. So, you know, you understand he's going to have his, you know, go take his lumps his rookie year. His second year, he's, you know, going from that to, okay, you're going to have a large share of the offensive load because, you know, you're a starter now. You're going to be looked on to score a lot. And I thought he handled his role really well last year. And not a lot of people, not enough people talked about it. But then it's like, now this year, he's got to adjust to playing next to LeBron James, right? And, you know, playing next to a guy like Rajon Rondo, you know, some of these other playmakers. And, you know, 20 games in, he's played, this was his 21st game of the season that he's played, I think. And, you know, everybody just wants to jump ship. And I guess I just don't really understand it.
No, I agree. I looked at the numbers. I mean, I agree that he gets better as the season goes along. The splits don't really bear that out necessarily. But no, I agree. It seems like it takes him a bit of time to get into a groove a bit. And then, you know, around January and February, he gets firing on all cylinders and starts playing well, which bodes well for the Lakers if he does it again this year. But yeah, I mean, I just think sometimes it's hard to remember that these guys are kids still. Yeah. Ingram just turned 21, I believe. And he just became old enough to drink. And he's on a playoff contender being a regular contributor. That's crazy for a 21-year-old. That doesn't happen often. It's the same with Lonzo. I talked about him with Grant and Christian for the Silver Skin and Roll podcast. It's the same thing. Lonzo just turned 21, and he's the starting point guard on a playoff team. Like, right. Getting contributions from two 21-year-olds like this is not normal. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we forget that these guys being this good, this young, it's crazy. It's crazy to see them playing so well. Ingram tonight, I mean, one game kind of defensive rating numbers are always kind of wonky, but Ingram tonight had an 88.3 defensive rating in 32 minutes. Lonzo had a 76.2 in 26 minutes. That was always the strength with those two on the court together, is that they're going to lock down a lot of backcourts, and I think they did that tonight.
Well, and that bodes well for the Lakers' future with LeBron James, right? Because LeBron doesn't really play a whole lot of defense, you know, for the most part until maybe the playoffs start. You know, he's kind of at that stage in his career, so you're going to need some good defensive players around him. And I think, you know, that's where the Lakers really missed Ingram the most in the, I think it was seven games he missed due to the ankle injury. It was just his defense. I mean, the Nets game, we saw Jared Dudley blown by defenders left and right, and it's just like inexcusable. And, you know, usually in a game like that against a guy like D'Angelo Russell, usually Brandon Ingram draws that assignment in the fourth quarter and, you know, uses his length to try and bother guys. And I think there were a couple times he'd bothered Drew Holiday tonight, and, you know, there were some times Holiday got left wide open, although some of them, you know, were not Ingram's fault. But yeah, his defense is so important for this team, and everybody wants to look at his offense and how he's fitting alongside LeBron James. And I get that. Eventually they're going to have to figure that out. And I think they kind of have a blueprint for it. And I think we saw that a little bit tonight. You saw Ingram, I think, move more without the basketball and try and fill lanes and transition and, you know, things like that. And I think that's the blueprint for them moving forward, is that when LeBron has the ball, you just got to move. If you just move, he's going to find you, and he's going to put you in positions to succeed. And there were a couple plays. There was one in particular in the second half where I think Ingram kind of cut baseline and just, you know, came around and was open. LeBron hit him, pulled up, and knocked down the jumper. It's like that. It's that simple. It really is. And I, for anybody that's interested, shameless plug, my pinned tweet was a film breakdown of Ingram earlier this year. And that was kind of something I noticed, was just looking at the numbers and looking at the film, is just there were too many possessions where he was just standing and watching LeBron kind of pound the ball into the floor or just standing and watching any playmaker really just dribble and not really do anything to help him out. So, and for him, when he gets the ball, he's just got to get it and go with a purpose, you know, do something with a purpose, because I felt like tonight was more, he got the ball and he made quick decisions and it put him in, you know, better positions. There were only a couple of possessions, I think, where he kind of really dribbled the ball a little too much and just didn't really do a whole lot with it at the start. And, you know, that's good. That's, you know, a step in the right direction to limit those possessions and get him moving off the ball. And I think that's kind of the blueprint for him offensively moving forward. And obviously, you know, when he plays with like the second unit, I think you can kind of have him play playmaker a little bit, or, you know, score where you might go ISO in some situations. But it's like when you've got, you know, LeBron James on the floor, usually you don't want to have other players going ISO unless you're also having LeBron, you know, play off the ball and cut and run pick and rolls and stuff like that. So
I don't think it's also mentioned enough how drastic of a change in play style he's had to go through this year, where his first 2 years he could do those ISO things, and that's where he found a lot of success, was just breaking guys down and learning how to use his ridiculous length to get shots up around the rim and finish over and through contact. Now he can't really do that with LeBron on the court. So he's had to learn how to play with LeBron, which, I mean, everybody's had to learn how to play with LeBron. Some have picked it up quicker than others. Kuzma looks really good next to LeBron. Lonzo has flashes of it, but these guys are still learning. We're still only, 32 games into the season? We're not even halfway to the season. This was always going to be a process. They've honestly played so much better than I would have imagined them to be playing at this point. So it's we've said it in totally different circumstances before, but patience. They're figuring it out.
Yeah, it takes time. And for Ingram, it's only been 21 games. You know, he missed four with the suspension earlier in the year, and then seven with the ankle injury. And especially with young players, it just, you got to be patient with them. You know, I know it's as frustrating as it can be. It's just what you got to do. You know, I think it was, I remember seeing a couple people say it last year, but progress is not always linear.
Yep.
Right. There are going to be, sometimes you're going to take two steps forward and then you're going to take a step back. And then, you know, that's the name of the game. So, but tonight was very encouraging for Brandon Ingram and a number of guys, especially Ivica Zubats. Before we move on to the next topic, I'm just going to give David Chia a shout out. If you're listening to this pod, this is your moment. This is your moment. You've been waiting this. You've been banging the Ivica Zubats drum all year long. And this is your night, so live it up, my friend. And it's a Friday night, so go celebrate, or at least, I don't know, stay up late, put the baby to sleep. And
tonight must have been his Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, I will say credit to Zubats, man. Credit to Zubats for, you know, being buried on the bench most of the year, but he was ready to go when his moment came. He stayed prepared, and he shined tonight. You know, I said this on Twitter earlier, but he kicked ass. He was awesome tonight, and that was just amazing to see. So let's talk about the guy that he was guarding for a large portion of the night, which if you looked at that matchup, you'd think there's no way Zubats did that well, because Anthony Davis had 30 points and 20 rebounds and 5 assists.
You should probably not determine how well you played by how well Anthony Davis did against you, because nobody would have done well.
We could have the entire staff of Lakers Outsiders guard Anthony Davis for a whole game, and he would score 75 points with about 50 rebounds and like 30 block shots. So, yeah, no. Anthony Davis was fantastic tonight. He's spectacular, as always. And there has been a lot of buzz in recent days about Anthony Davis and the Lakers, because somebody asked LeBron basically if he'd like to play with Anthony Davis. And what do you think his answer was? Shocker. He thinks playing with Anthony Davis would be amazing, just like every other human being on the planet. So, which, I mean, that brings up the question, because Davis has a year and a half, or season and a half basically, left on his contract. His contract will expire after next season. And the Pelicans are struggling right now. I think they are 13th in the Western Conference now after tonight's loss. I think they were tied for 12th going into tonight. So they're struggling right now, and things don't look great for them. So, Jacob, what are the chances, or I guess how realistic is it that the Lakers could swing a trade for Anthony Davis either before the trade deadline in February or the summer of 2019?
So I don't see the Pelicans offering him up before getting the chance to offer him the Supermax, which wouldn't be until this summer.
They should give it to me instead.
unless they lose every game between now and February 9th or whenever the deadline is, there's just no scenario I can envision in which they offer him up. Because also, I don't know the details on it. They actually mentioned it tonight, and it's the first time I had thought of or had heard of it. But I guess the Celtics can't trade for him until Kyrie signs a new deal, which I hadn't heard. But, I mean, in that regard, if they make him available now, the Celtics probably have the best package possible. So they're not going to have the best package on the table if they offer him up before this summer. So just for a host of reasons, I don't think they offer him up midseason. Now, the summer is a totally different thing. Anthony Davis says that the Supermax won't be turning down, what is it, like $82 million won't be a factor for him. Put the contract in front of him and see if he says the same thing. $82 million is a lot of money.
I would strongly consider playing for the Suns for 5 years if that's how much money I was making.
I don't think there's I would probably play for the Celtics if it was $82 million.
You heard it here, folks. Jacob Rood.
Just give me $82 million.
Celtics fan.
Celtics fan. I mean, sure, he can say that now. I don't know. Nobody that's been offered the Supermax, formally offered the Supermax, has turned it down. The Spurs never formally offered it to Kawhi. It's just so hard to say no to that money. That being said, I mean, if everything plays out, he doesn't want it, or they don't offer it, you'd have to think the Lakers and the Celtics are probably in the driver's seat. The Sixers no longer have the assets with the Butler trade and with Fultz, that whole situation. I just don't see anybody else competing with the two. I think the Celtics probably have the upper hand in available assets, but I don't know that they would offer Tatum up, which is crazy, but there's just been so much smoke there. But regardless, I think it's a very real possibility this summer that it would have to probably come after they struck out on everyone in free agency. I think it's a real possibility they go after AD and try to get him as a Laker. This is what they've been stockpiling those assets for, to build, either bring in superstars, to build a team like that, or go get one. It's what we saw Boston do when they went and got Kyrie. It's stuff like that. That's why you build up these assets, to go get superstars on the rare chances they become available.
Yeah, I don't see them offering up Jason Tatum, mainly because I've been being told that Jason Tatum is going to be better than LeBron one day.
19-year-old Jason Tatum?
That's what I hear, apparently. But yeah, they can't trade for him unless Kyrie gets a new deal, because you can't acquire two, like, designated contracts. I think that's what the terminology was. It was in Sam Amick's piece on The Athletic today, so go check that out. Sam had all the details and a pretty good breakdown of all that. But yeah, basically Kyrie has to have a new deal before they can trade for him, unless they trade Kyrie for him, which they're not going to do.
That'd be a hell of a plot twist.
Yeah. So I can't see a deal being done by the trade deadline just because I don't think the Pelicans would panic and do that. What would be hilarious is if the Kings swooped in and tried to trade for Anthony Davis and the tables had turned from a couple years ago. But I don't see the deadline happening. I think they'll ride out the rest of the season at the very least and see what they can do. But the summer is an interesting possibility, especially from the Lakers' standpoint, because you had mentioned kind of if they strike out in free agency, which I could definitely see. I could definitely see them saying, wow, we didn't get anybody like we thought we were going to get. Let's just go all in on Anthony Davis and get LeBron that star right now, and then we'll figure out the rest later. But I think it gets really interesting if the Lakers do get a free agent, if they do go get a Kevin Durant or a Kawhi Leonard, because then I think it's a certainty that they just go all in and they say, name your price, let's get this done. And they try and, you know, go get Anthony Davis to pair with LeBron and KD or Kawhi or whatever max free agent they would be able to get. And that trio would just destroy all of humanity. I mean, they would basically be Thanos. Like, it would be unreal to get a trio like that. And I don't think the Lakers could pass on that. So, but like I said, I don't expect the deadline to happen with Anthony Davis. I mean, you might start to hear more rumblings and there might be rumors. There's always rumors. Always rumors. But this summer or next summer, however you look at it, July of 2019 is going to be very, very interesting to watch, especially if the Pelicans miss the playoffs and they keep kind of sliding and they finish, I don't know, 10th in the West, 12th in the West, whatever. It'll be very, very interesting to watch. Obviously, LeBron has endorsed going and getting Anthony Davis, and if you keep LeBron happy, you're probably going to stay pretty happy. So I'm just curious as to what the price would be to get him. And we had talked about this on a roundtable piece that we posted on LakersOutsiders.com earlier today. But I'm going to throw this question to you, Jacob. If it comes down to it, I guess we'll start. I don't know if it really matters. Either before the deadline or this summer, say no other star is in place. Say they don't have a free agent acquisition like a Durant or a Kawhi or whatever. Would you trade the entire young core to get Anthony Davis and LeBron on the same team?
I'll start with this.
I lost you there for a second. Go ahead.
I said, I'll start with this. Do you know how old Anthony Davis is?
25?
Yeah. He won't be 26 yes. until March.
Wow, I'm older than Anthony Davis. That's depressing. What am I doing with my life?
He is about 2 years older than Kyle Kuzma and Josh Hart.
And a lot better.
Yeah, a little bit. So that's a long-winded way of me saying I would give the Pelicans a blank check. I wouldn't go into the negotiation saying, here, you can have everyone. But if it came down to it, yeah, I would trade Kuzma, Hart, Lonzo, and Ingram for AD. Because if you get AD and LeBron, good night. Good luck stopping that. And you're going to get just a who's who coming in here on veterans coming in here on minimum deals or annual exceptions or I don't know how the math works. I mean, in a world where we get KD and somehow are able to also try to get AD, yeah, literally anybody left on the roster is available and any draft pick you want.
I think Carmelo Anthony would pay the Lakers to play for them.
Yeah, like if somehow they get LeBron and KD and AD is still in play, you make every asset available you have. Because, yeah, like you said, if they get the three of them, that's the infinity gauntlet. That's like they can just snap a finger at the beginning of the game and they've won. Like, that's such an absurd trio. And they're all staggered in a way to where when LeBron's kind of when LeBron's done, KD's still in his prime, and AD is, I guess, entering his prime since he's technically not in it. And then once KD is kind of fading out, then AD is there. And then by the time AD's fading out, Bronny will be in his prime. but yeah, I mean, it's just you do. To me, Anthony Davis is like top three best players in the league right now. You do whatever you can to get him. If he becomes available, I wouldn't be – I'm not going to be mad if they go and trade for Anthony Davis because, like, we watched that dude tonight. He was very visibly not 100%. He was throwing up, like, before – during shoot-around, basically. He dropped 30, 20, and 5 on 52% shooting. Like, that dude's unreal. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I wouldn't – I don't think there's a line I would draw for getting AD.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. If it's before the trade deadline, maybe I'm nuts. Very, very likely that I'm insane. But if it's before the deadline, I would say no to trading the entire core because you're trading the entire core of Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart, and either Rondo or KCP to make the money work. My only concern, obviously, well, I'd have two concerns. One of them would be, yes, you have AD and LeBron. I don't know if it's quite enough to beat the Warriors this year, which is fine. And that's, you know, easily... Well, not easily. I guess Steph and Durant is a really, really amazing duo. But LeBron and AD is arguably the best duo in the league and arguably the best duo we've seen in a very long time. My only concern is if you do something like that, what else is on the roster to help them out? You know, and that's kind of the issue. If you do it before the deadline, which I think we both agree is not going to happen, but in the summertime, I would be more open to it, and especially if you get the star free agent. I think then it's like, yes, you go all in, you get Anthony Davis, but a lot of people might even look at the entire Lakers core as like, you know, like outsider fans or whatever might look at that and be like, oh, well, the Lakers young core isn't that great. You know, there's no way the Pelicans would do that. And, you know, one thing to keep in mind is that superstar trades very often, or I would say most of the time, don't appear to be fair when they're made. I mean, when you looked at the DeMarcus Cousins trade, everybody thought, wow, the Kings really gave him up for that. And, you know, Buddy Hield's turned out to be a good player, and I can't even remember all the other pieces in that trade, but
it was basically just Buddy Hield and a draft pick, I believe.
Yeah, and somehow Buddy Hield duped everybody into thinking he was the wrong age. So, I mean, there's he that
didn't dupe anyone to be fair. It was everybody else's stupidity.
Well, you know, yeah, that's how it goes. But yeah, superstar trades just often don't, you know, they don't net equal return, at least not on the surface, maybe in a few years down the line, unless it's like the Carmelo trade. You know, I think at the time everybody was like, wow, that's kind of a lot to give up for Carmelo. But at the same time, it was like, oh, well, but you got the superstar, so it's fine. So, I mean, I understand kind of both sides of it. My concern, and another concern I guess I would have with trading for Davis, and I would even call it a concern, it's just kind of like something that you have to be aware of trading for him, is that he gets banged up quite a bit. You know, he does – I don't think he's really had many, if any, major injuries. It's a lot of like minor injuries that'll keep him out for a few games at a time. And – you know, to that's be fair, concerning.
One of his injuries was he dove into the stands and nobody was there, so he fell into empty chairs and hurt himself. So we wouldn't have that problem in LA.
Yeah, he would dive into like Leonardo DiCaprio or Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, people would be there to catch him.
I don't know, man. Jack might just jump out of the way. I don't know if Jack's ready to. I don't know if he's at the age where he can take too many charges anymore.
So in. I believe he's played just about every game this year. I don't know what the Pelicans record is. He's played 29 games this year. He played 75 last year, 75 the year before, then 61, 68, 67, 64. So, I mean, it was kind of an issue, but it seems like those are kind of in the past now.
Right. Yeah, like I said, before the deadline, I would be a little hesitant about it just because you don't have anything else around them and, you know, you wouldn't have a whole lot of means to add talent around them. During the summertime, though, July 2019, I would be much more inclined, you know, because you know what you're getting with your cap space, right? Because if you trade for Anthony Davis, you're eating into your cap space a little bit, and it makes acquiring that third star, you know, much, much more difficult. The Lakers would have to kind of get creative a little bit with their financial flexibility. And, you know, as of right now, they have the max cap space that they need, so they could go sign a guy and then try and find a way to swing a trade. You know, it would probably require multiple young players, but I think it's an easier path that way. And I think the Lakers are probably taking that approach. I mean, they've cleared this cap space for a few years now, basically since Pelinka and Magic took over. They've had this vision in, you know, in mind, and I think they're going to see it through before they really, you know, sacrifice that max cap space. I think they want to try and acquire a second star like a Durant or a Kawhi Leonard or Jimmy Butler, whoever, you know, might be available this summer. And then I think they'll try and swing a trade for Anthony Davis. And if they do, oh, it's over. It is over.
Would you need any – I mean, technically, would you be trading for a guy with 1 year left? I mean, would you need any assurances that he would sign an extension to do it, or does that even matter?
If the Lakers had LeBron plus a max free agent, I wouldn't. I think that would be enough. Because, I mean, if he leaves, you know, I mean, basically that cap space.
Insane to think he would leave that, but yeah.
Yeah, the cap, that money frees up, you know, not that the Lakers would have like a ton of money to spend anyways, but that money frees up and they'd still have, you know, LeBron plus superstar, you know, a superstar free agent. And then you'd probably, like you said earlier, you'd still have guys lining up to play for cheap next to those two. So, and plus, you know, Davis is worth, you know, taking a gamble like that, especially when you have a safety net in LeBron James, and especially if you have a super safety net in LeBron plus another star.
Let's say LeBron's a hell of a safety net.
Yeah. So, you know, and if that's what LeBron wants, I mean, like I said, if LeBron's happy, your team's going to be happy. So,
I mean, would it, if we don't get a max free agent, would that change it at all? Or if it's just, you're trading for just AD with only LeBron there?
I just wouldn't offer the entire young core, I guess, with 1 year, because I don't know. The advantage that the Lakers have is that they have two clients of Clutch Sports, you know, Rich Paul's clients, that they can communicate with him. I mean, it's illegal, but you know that those conversations are happening. As long as they're not recorded in any way, like through email, text, or whatever, and can't be used as evidence, I would be shocked if those conversations haven't already happened, because they can legally talk to Rich Paul because they have two of his clients. And yeah, I don't think, you know, going into the summer, that I think the Lakers would still have a lot of leverage, right? You know, the Pelicans can say, hey, we'll just go trade him to Boston. But if his agency is saying, well, I want my client to join LeBron in LA and he's not going to sign an extension with you, I mean, is Boston going to offer their farm? Probably not. You know, they might roll the dice and they might, you know, take that chance. But I think the advantage that not a whole lot of people are talking about is that the Lakers have a relationship with Clutch Sports already. And I think that plays a role in this, you know, because Anthony Davis did sign with them earlier this year. And that was kind of a big development, you know, in terms of their pursuit of Anthony Davis. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, it's, what is it? December 21st, 22nd now. So we got like 2 months until the trade deadline, and I don't expect anything to happen on the Anthony Davis front at the deadline, but you'll start to hear more rumors, and going into the summer, it'll be very, very interesting. So, all righty. Anything else you wanted to add on the Anthony Davis trade talks?
Yeah, just shout out LeBron for being incredibly amazing with his quote tonight, where he, after the game, they were asking him, I more or less, do you regret saying anything? And he said, I did nothing wrong. Or he said, what did I do? And they said you wanted to play with AD. And he said, I'd love to play with KD, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Luka Doncic. The quote was, come on, guys, it's not rocket science. These are great players. The best part, after the media scrum dispersed, he said, did I say Kawhi? Add Kawhi to that list. He's a free agent, right? I love LeBron.
Notice who he said first, though. Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I noticed that, too. Not a coincidence. He knew Kevin Durant was a free agent.
KD, LeBron, and AD all on the same team. Man, I'm going to have dreams. I'm going to have dreams about that. I'm
going to fan myself off over here.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us today. Jacob, this was fun. The game was fun. I mean, Zubats balled out. LeBron was LeBron. Ingram's back. Rondo's back. Never thought I'd be so excited to have Rondo back.
Maybe less threes from him, but other than that, Rondo's back.
But yeah, the Lakers get back in the win column, 19-13 on the season, alone in fourth place in the Western Conference. Feels pretty good. Never thought fourth place would feel so good, but it does right now. So as always, if you enjoy the podcast, you can subscribe to us on YouTube and on iTunes. And if you subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a review. Those help us out tremendously. We always appreciate the feedback, but it also helps out the channel a lot. It helps out our site, and we greatly, greatly appreciate it. You can also find us on Podbean as well, just Lakers Outsiders on all three of those platforms. And of course, you can find everything on LakersOutsiders.com. You can follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook and Instagram, all that fun stuff. So, Jacob, like I said, this was fun. We will hopefully be back on Sunday. The Lakers are back in action against the Grizzlies, who I got to see in person in one of the most boring, I guess. I don't want to say boring. It was just kind of a snooze fest because the building was just very, I don't know, very flat.
Memphis basketball.
But yeah, the Lakers went into Memphis and crushed them. So hopefully they can do it again on Sunday because they've got the Warriors coming up on Tuesday on Christmas Day. So it'd be nice to pick up that 20th win, get to 20-13 heading into that game. But we will hopefully be here on Sunday night recapping that game and hopefully talking about another Lakers win. If Zubats plays the way he did again tonight, I think we don't have anything to worry about.
Listen, that's a bit of a heat check.
Zubat's heat check. I'm here for it. All right. That's going to do it for us this time. Thanks for everybody that tuned in here on the live YouTube broadcast. And thanks for those of you listening to us on iTunes and on Podbean. Hani's not here to do the shout out. We're just going to shout out Ivica Zubats because he was the man tonight. And I wish everybody a happy holiday season just in case I don't talk to you. And I wish that the Lakers would stop getting sick. I hope they get healthy. So, and I wish that to all of you. So thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, this is Gary Kester alongside Jacob Rude signing off.